sorry, a little bit late, but okay. So we're holding Darren in the Sivat Sneas, and we finished the first parak actually, and now we're holding by the second parak. Second, let me just open up the paper.
Can I ask you two questions based on the last? On the first parak.
Yes.
Okay. The first question is regarding in Yone, what we call sneers, intimacy, and those in Yone.
Right.
Would it be true to say that there's something about those things when, if they are done the siyasum, it becomes an avera. Meshe'enka and other mitzvahs that you mentioned, tzedakah, tzedakah, there's a mila to do it b'tznius, but it's a gewaldic mitzvah to do it b'tznius as well. Is that a true chiluk?
Well, it certainly is halachically correct. I mean, it says you're supposed to refrain from doing things that are with your wife publicly. So one is not allowed to do those things publicly. Whereas other inyanim, it's okay. The difference is because the outer levush of the inyanim that we call tznius is a very coarse levush, and therefore it has an element of proskai to it, which is bad. Meaning it's chomer. Staka, the outside element cheapens it a bit, by doing it very b'pirsum, but it's not. It doesn't belong to the chelik that's really ra in the bria. Okay, so up the parak beis. Masechtas Ksuvos. Sorry, yes?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can, loud and clear.
Okay. And now? Hello?
Can we go by this, or do you want to ask something?
Just one more question. We spoke about the fact that bracha is really chal in the panemius of the world. Is there a mahalach that hishtadlus is really there to cover up the nace?
I'm not sure. There may be an inyan like that, but I don't know if that's the primary reason. I mean, it's true that when you have a nace, they always tell, you told them to bring a little shemen. I mean, what difference does it make a little shemen when it's producing gallons and gallons of shemen? But I think it's deeper than that. There is no mehalach of yesh me'ayin in the bria anymore. The type of brias come to an end. Bracha is something that is within the bria, but not easily taken out. Let's give an example. If I take a piece of wood, then I'll be derech hateva. If I divide it into four pieces, it'll always be four pieces. That's not going to change ever, and that's metzias of yesh meyesh. Create wood from nothing doesn't exist since Bereishis. But that if I stick a stick of wood in the ground and it grows four branches, that's sort of somewhere in between the two. It's not easily deheret in physical yesh miyesh terms. I mean, obviously today we understand the process, but the whole thing, it's something that's not the mathematical rigidity of whenever you cut a stick into four, you'll get four equal pieces. That's always. Sticking a tree into the ground, sticking a branch to the ground, sometimes yes, sometimes not, sometimes more, sometimes less. So those are the mahalach from a bracha that are still shayach in the bria. I'm not sure. I mean, there are always stories about you did some pe'ula to cover the nest and so on. But I think I think the more basic reason for it is just because that's the metzias. Bracha is the only thing that exists, and bracha means that there's something there which it's not yesh me'ayin, but it's harbe me'at. That's the state of bracha. Okay, can we go weiter?
Yes, thank you.
Okay. B'mesechtes Ksubis, Ma'irich Tiv Yosef Tzilach al-Azeinecho, al-Tikra al-Azeinecho al-Oznecho. Shim Yishma Adam Davashin Hagun, Yaniach Etzbo Ba'adna. So Chazal say that a person has he has an aver which allows him to stuff his ears. Ba'ina Domer of Alozo, it's named Ma'at Swayfosh Adam Domerly Sedoids. Why a person's fingers like spikes? So he must ask, what are you referring to? My time. Elay Mishin Mechalkon. If the word is the question, why are the fingers not together as one unit? Kol chadam chadam mol savida. Each one has a separate function. Dama marzu zera zukmita zuama zetsu zugredo. So each one has its own function, and therefore. By the way, just a sort of parenthetic remark. Each one of these has some sort of mitzvah associated with it, which is interesting. That's the primary reason. The fact that physically it creates a tremendous advantage seems to be almost secondary. But I go funny. Mara says, no, so that's not the point. Alamata mishupos yisebe. Why are they pointing? Shem yishma adam dovesh in hogun, the niach etzpoisa ba'azna. That in case a person hears something that's not appropriate, he can stick his fingers in his ears. Taner Rabbi Shmuel, you say, ma oizim kula kasha v'ayuraka. Why is the ear hard and the bottom part of it is the lobe is soft? It's made so that a person is able to stick it into the ear. Taner Rabbanan, ad yashmi adam lozna v'ram v'telem, v'yashem nichven t'chila leivar. Bir davazer. Im hoya b'riyas adam, tashay yishma davashen ha'hagun, v'mikabla yisadavah. If a person's bria was in a way where if he hears the davar shein ha'hagun, he automatically accepts it. Hoya nivra adam chasa she'azoy she'adam psucho nivrei. The efshar shishma davar shein ha'hagun. In other words, a person will hear a davar shein ha'hagun. That's automatic. And you hear things enough. And if you have no way to defend yourself against it, then a person is extremely vulnerable. The fact that you have no protection against Devor and Shein and Ruyim would make a person a chaser, he says. The Efshar Shleishma Adam Davar Shein Ha'hagun. It's an impossibility that a person not hear things that are Ha'hagun. Parei Mekabel Davara, the Kolosh Kabel Davara, who Nishas Play. So just like if, let's say, a person has some sort of appliance in his house that it's filled up with soot or it's affected by some common problem and there's no guard against it, there's no filter. So, for instance, a sink has a filter in it because you don't want anything to fall to the sink or not fall to the pipe. A person would be a big hustler if that would be how he if it was built. But the Shprocha has to build in a sort of a protection for it. V'ein adoimim roi retzicho shadva shim roi ein shayach v'zeh kabola. Avla shmiya hi kabola v'kmeshe tirgim unklita kol shmiya kabola l'kacho ez efesorim bodem. So he has the kasha, his kasha, well, what about seeing? So he has one parrot, which we'll explain in a minute, is the first parrot. The second parrot is the simplest parrot. V'gama ayin yesh lo kisu yishochol atzim eino. And the eye also has eyelids, so it's built in that a person can choose not to look at it. I want to, first of all, we would have said this answer as the primary answer. I mean, you can shut the eyelids, and the eyelids function quite well. When somebody tries to put something in the eyelids have a tremendously quick reflex. So I don't like the kasha may curl, let's say. The morale chooses to reverse the order of the terutzim, because the terutz that he says first told me that it is not the problem that the ozen is. The ayin does not have the problem that the ozen has. The second one is, and even the problem that the ayin does have, it has a remedy. But that's an amazing, I just want to first point it out. The norm we would have said, the first thing is, you do have a protection. And we just said, then we said another parrot, whatever the philosophical parrot you say. The morale says, no, the first parrot is a more fundamental parrot. it has a logical priority because I want to explain to you it's not a problem in the sense that the air is a problem. So let's talk about this point that he's making here. Because this is the point he's making, and it's not an obvious point. It's something that's a bit counterintuitive. Everybody knows that we tend to be affected by sight much strongly, much more strongly than by hearing. For instance, there's a reason why people enjoy an off-color joke, but given the chance to look at an off-color show or movie or whatever it is, or other trash, that people will do that. That certainly takes precedence over listening. People react more strongly to something that's visual in the form of Nidus Arias than something that's said. So what's the point that he's making here? That it's not so shy of here is the Kabbalah Gavarah, and over there it's not the Kabbalah, Shmi is the Kabbalah, which thing of Ungus I call Shmi a Kabbalah, and so on. So I want to explain the point, because the point that will come up every so often in the Maral, and it's a point that if you think about it, has a big makom and it explains a lot of things. If a person, if you take a look, for instance, at pictures in a newspaper, and it's every kind of a schlocky newspaper, like a film newspaper, somewhere to get every so often to put a caption in, you find it very annoying. You see a picture, there are people milling around, there's something going on there, but I don't know what it is. I have no idea. The information that I have from a picture is kind of a metzias without any hakadara sichlis in any way whatsoever. So I have certain visual data, but nothing else. When I hear something, for instance, let's say a person sees a picture of something. It's inappropriate. So there's physical data, and the person has sizes. But if I say something along the lines of so-and-so are having a great time versus so-and-so are doing something terrible, so-and-so are committing adultery or so-and-so are madly in love, I'm being credited its value, its meaning, in a certain way that is not niklat. For something to be niklat in my nefesh, it has to be labeled. It has to have a hagdara, it has to have a value assigned to it, and so on. Vision in itself doesn't do that. You know, there are always nuanced clues, but the seeing itself doesn't do that. And the mele, there's not a real klita to it. Whereas if I hear something, hearing always includes some evaluation. Even if you don't say any words, there's the tam advarim, how you say it, what you say, and so on. That's one of the reasons why lashon hara is so terrible. Let's give a case. I just want to demonstrate. You know, everyone says about lashon hara, it's true. Like, why can't you say it? There's the Beit Yisrael, the Gerev of the Beit Yisrael, was known for being extremely sharp-tongued and really left out of chassidim. And he once called the chassid, not once, he called many times chassid, behemah, they're a behemah. So one chassid, I guess it wasn't such a chassid, reacted and said, I mean, how can you ever say something like that? The Rebbe said, you can act like that and I can't describe it? That was the conversation. But we had that same feeling about lashon hara. This guy's soul, and I can't even say anything about that. Like, where's the yashas? He's, you know, forget about the Tolelis factor, but just in depth. So let's take a look. we see, we're both standing in a corner, and we see somebody go over to the pushka box and take out money. From the closed pushka box, cracks it open, takes out money. That's data. Our mind creates a caption. One can create a caption, what a ganav. Two, what a terrible ganav to rob money from a sucker box. Three, what a desperate person that he needs to rob sucker boxes. Four, the person must have a severe addiction or some other real issue that he drives him to do something which is obviously going to land him in jail and in trouble. Four captions that fit the same picture, and it's four different pictures depending on what you what you saw. And so when I saw the person taking the money from the sucker, that in itself is not niklat. It's when my mind tags it and gives it a certain description that it actually niklat the person. So now this data has become meaningful data. It's become something that has it has a meaning, and it's stored as meaning. But we have very, very hard time storing just pictures. When you have some capture, you remember the scene when he fell so terribly and was humiliated, or do you remember that scene and the elation in his face when he got the prize? That helps us, the tag helps us conjure up the image. So a person's Kriyat HaShmiya is much, much worse off than his Ri'ya. But give another mashal. A lot of the Inyanim Namuna, everybody sees that there's difficult things happening in the world. Everyone sees there's a lot of suffering and a lot of things that are not hand in hand with Chanonish. You can label it. You can say, aha, Kafashal and Lift in the Dayan. And it's not as if the person is Magdala America. He all he's doing is sort of giving words and describing it. Or a person can say, what a difficult world it is, where Kaddish Baruch Hu was so must upon him, and it leaves us in the darkness, and we have to hold on for dear life. Same picture, two very different captions. And that's why a Mesis and Medea is somebody who does a tremendous injury, because the words are that the macabre, and that becomes that becomes really what you have. And he says, you see that the word Shmia is Kabbalah. Every time the word Shmia says, that Uncle is the time Kabbalah, the word Vayishma usually means accepted, in the sense that he received something from someone else rather than the act of caring itself. I want to add one more just point of information. People make a mistake about this a lot of times. The when we speak about seeing and hearing in this context, we're speaking about a principle. So, for instance, seeing means raw information. So when I see something happening, when I hear a truck coming down the road, that's also re'i in that sense. When I hear somebody crying, when I whatever it is. On the other hand, if I read a book, that's really shmir, because what it means is another person has processed and turned data into, I don't know what word to use, not information, not quite the right word for it, but he's taking data and processed it into something that I could be mekabel. And that's why Vayishama are in Yonim of being, the word Vayishama ta'am means to impose a discipline. Shaul says Vayishama ta'am means he forced them to obey. So the word shmir is obeying, because what you're doing is you're relying on somebody else's interpretation. So he says, therefore, if a person, so that's the main reason why Shmiah is vital, that a person is able to shut it out, whereas Re'iyah is preferable, but not so. And secondly, says the eye actually has a lid to close it with. Now he says, She'adam ro'elios nivra b'shleimus of lid hisarim, v'dovet ha'nefshach hisarim. This would have been a terrible hisarim. K'moyishul nivra adam chasa eva sh'nefshach hisarim. If a person would be missing something, so just like if you have a sink that doesn't have the filter in it, it's chasa because it's allowing itself to get clogged. K'achoy ha'nefshach hisarim goru b'adam nivra adam ad kitzach l'kabul ma'shenu or l'kabul. A person is not chaser, he has the tools to do it with. Person was given an anatomical feature to be able to take care of the problem. V'chein, al yishol adam nivaraka, sh'nishma davashin ha'gun, sh'yosun al yivatecher l'iskazim. So those are the two things we want to say. Then the Ma'al says, "Yikshelcha lama lishnei dvar kein zekasha shein loyer sheyosim etzvo l'tocha ozen ki yad la'ozen mechareshes." It says that it's not good. The Gemara says putting your hand in your ear is not good for your ear. So just sticking your hand and putting the work, but what should, I mean, it's a problem. It's a problem. L'fikach yesh lahasim al yivatecha b'fartes mula etzva. Without a question, it's fine. We understand the eye has a kisui, we understand the oizen needs a kisui, and we understand the Kadosh Baruch Hu created a whole apparatus. So why didn't he have that automatic shut off like we have on the eye? So he says, "Hein ba'avad the dover the omayt umufadit here." So this is a very deep in it. V'zeh she'adam ashucheresh ina adam. Ha'cheresh shaita ve'katan nashav adam dozer ba'alaylo. Ka'adam nashak me'kli. Ba'kli she'en lo be'istiv le'nashak kli klal. Rakuk ma'goylem kli eitz. Olafikach ha'cheresh enishmei ve'mekav la'dvarim en lo be'istiv le'nashak goylem kli eitz. So the Mel says a fascinating shot, very longish and very much down his style. An Adam Mitzias is to be Mekabel and to be Koilet, whatever it is in the Bria. That's Adam's Mitzias. It is his Mitzias, the Mashal. It says that he named everything in the Bria. In other words, his Kreyach HaDibur is to be Koilet, whatever is in the Bria, to hear the Devar Hashem in the Bria, and to be Koilet it, and to label it, and so on and so forth. Just like a kli needs to have a kli kibul in order to be called a kli, depending which type of kli, I mean, matech is different, but other things need to have a kli kibul. Adam, to be what he is, he needs to be a makabel. That is etzem tzura. You can't have an Adam created where the etzem it's closed. So the eyes, I mean, tzadet and tzuras adam, and eye is a maila. But it's not the atmos of the adam. So if a person can be walking with his eyes closed, so to speak, that can be his natural tzura, then open them when he needs to. Shmiah is the other way around, he says. Shmiah is the etzem, something which is the etzem mitzvah to the person. That needs to be in the person's innate status, and the tikkun, or the problem of what to do when you're exposed, is to put your fingers in your ear. But it has to be an outside thing moved into place rather than the Aver itself should have a status of not open. And that's why he's called Chereshayt of the Cotton. Adam that doesn't have, that's not connected to the world of Diburim, is not an Adam. That's the point that he's making. The very, very long shaper.
Can I ask a question?
Yes, please.
Why are we making the dagesh over here on the oizen and not on the peh? How is this? Why isn't this koyach adibur?
The koyach, there's two kohos. One is for me to proclaim and to label and so on. The other one is that I should be koyach those things. The fact that Adam is receives. A person is affected by the Bria. When a person walks out and says, L'rabu Maser Hashem, it's this Kalita of Maithi Hashem that has stamped upon him. If a person just sees a lot of trees, but hasn't formed, he needs to form the Marabu, and he needs to be Koilis, the Marabu. The end impression on the person from the Mashpiyim in this world is the Kriya Hashmiya.
Just one more question. The connection to Tznius of all of this is what that creates Panemius, the Shmiya?
He's just explaining.
He doesn't mention Tznius once in this whole.
He's not. Usually his derech is to take all the Chazals and to learn them up, the Chazals and the Inyan, and you see that. A person you see how sensitive a person is to these inyanim that he needed to put in this guard. So that's the chesed of that. His point is loosely connected to tzniut. It's a point in its own right. I wanted to add another possible parrot to this kasha. Since the kalita of the eye is really, in a certain sense, mechanical, this and this are the points, the data. It's not yet become information, really. So that is an automatic process, kind of, and the eye closing is automatic. Shmia is sort of an act where kreach abchira is being put into place. It's something which I am using my Surah Adam to describe something, to hear something. If somebody has described something, I'm listening to it. It sort of requires a conscious act to shut it out. I am choosing not to listen to this person because I think this person is taking down a bad road and a wrong road and so on. It's almost as if against the crack of Hashpa, I need to use a bechira dafka, I need to do a meister. I need to recognize that this is not good for me and walk away from it. I mean, even though for seeing something that a person shouldn't see, a person also needs plenty of bechira to do that. But here's something, I guess, more the opposite of the meister way of describing it. So a person needs to be a kli kibul. So over there he speaks about the mile of shtika and why oizen is unique and so on. The etzem inyan of the profound effect that oizen has over Riyah, it's discussed in quite a few places. There's a Rabbeinu Yonah, very famous, Rabbeinu Yonah quoted. There is a Rabbeinu Yonah. I believe there's a Rabbeinu Bechaya also. I'm pretty sure he speaks about it. The point that comes out is instinctively we feel that sight is our most important aver. And yet we find that Chersh has the status of being Shaita, of Narvadat. We find that says Chersh, that if the person who comes to Chersh, you have to pay him his entire value. There is a very famous Rabbi Yena that he says that a person who is a Shomea Tochacha becomes a changed person because of it. It's a Korach Dafni Korach Hashmiya. Quite a few Nikudas that Korach Hashmiya has a Mila over here. So it's a bit counterintuitive for us. But the reason is because Re'iyah is absolutely imperative for getting a sense of the chitzenius hadava. So if you walk in the street and see where you're going, Re'iyah is obviously a much more significant koach than Shmiya. But to be able to dehair the world, in other words, what do I see? What does it mean? What's the significance of it? What's its content? Shmiya is the most significant of it. So in terms of the tochen and the pnimius of it, this is by far more important koach. So there's some sort of a cue of Tzuras Adam that we don't have the koach Hashmiya in place. That's the point he's making. And therefore, if a person has some concern with it, and so on, he's going to affect them terribly. I'd like to get another point in terms of the difference between Shmiya Riyah. I want to go back to the original point, because things that are counterintuitive, we need to really sort of think about them and understand the difference. Let's say a person sees that something that's inappropriate. You look at something that's not appropriate. And so the person might be aroused by it. That's a kedusha and so on and so forth. Okay. Let's say a person hears a crude joke from somebody else. There's a message there. The message is, it's an appropriate thing to talk about. It is appropriate conversation. It's something to have a nice laugh at. There is almost no way to give over a thing like that without there being a tacit approval in your words about it. There's a famous Bachem, Yankel Miller, very, very famous traditional Bachem, really, really wonderful, really good. And one of his routines goes something along the lines of that he finds other bakhanim, many of the topics, be very distasteful. For instance, Mahuma jokes. He knows many bakhanim have a great time with it, and he finds that to be terrible, outrageous, etc., etc. For instance, he picks the name sort of out of the hat, so and so. He said the following joke about Mahuma. And he said the following joke about Mahuma. And terrible. And he said the following joke, that's like his shtick, that's his routine, it hasn't been a good thing. But like upon him, when you're saying that somebody else said it, basically, you're letting on, the approval lies in the very, very conversation of it. Someone married into a family of very special people, very aristocratic people, that don't talk about other people, certainly not Lashon Hara, and it's not accepted conversation at the table. And this person told me, they married into this family, and for the first few weeks, he felt kind of crude. His language wasn't that darga, and there would be a stony silence, kind of, and there was no approval whatsoever, and it took him in a short time. He was kind of he felt very, very uncomfortable with our people. But upon him, that's the mind of it. Any questions? Okay.
That's a question. Yeah, how come Chazal only point out Re'iyah, the Chasaron of Re'iyah, being considered like a mace, whereas none of the other Koichos, and now, specifically they don't point out Shmia?
Well, it's interesting. The difference is between a mace to someone who's not a Bardas. A mace refers to the Chitzonius of the person, and someone who's got a Bardas, a Shaita refers to Zolpim. It's a living body, but there's something lacking profoundly in the Tzeichon of the person. So, in terms of being able to care for yourself physically, Re'i is definitely a much more significant Koach. In terms of their functioning as human beings, that this is a much better, a more important Koach. In the Tzad of Tzeichon Shabbat. Okay, good Shabbat. I'm sorry for the it's been kind of choppy, and I hope that Hashem will get back to norm. So, Baruch Hashem, next week, Thursday, should be right for us, Baruch Hashem.
Okay, Shabbat. Thank you.
Shabbat's fine.